in itself can produce anything. But how much you have is the degree of your understanding of how faith works. That means if I have 10, it doesn't mean all there is 10. It means all there is actually uncountable. Because what you have came from what is not. So for me to begin to quantify how much I can have is impossible. 10 is what I have, but what actually is uncountable. Now, the 10 I have is not because of the faith I have. Because the lowest and the smallest amount of faith is enough to bet the uncountable reality. So the problem of man is not the problem of faith. In Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it says, unto everyone is dealt the measure of faith. So every one of us today is able to produce the same thing God produces. But the problem is the depth of our understanding. The level of understanding you have is the degree of result you will command. That's why I said faith. This kind of faith that produces the visible from the invincible is a kind of faith that is predicated on a definite kind of understanding. So when we come to a faith seminar, the emphasis is not even to strengthen your faith. The emphasis is not to impart more faith to you. Because if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away, and if you do not doubt, you will have whatsoever you say. So the problem of faith is never a problem of how much. The problem of faith is actually a problem of the depth of your understanding. So when you see a man, the measure the man has is not necessarily the measure of his faith. Because every faith can move mountain. The problem is, what is the level of understanding you have to power that faith? Every one of us in this auditorium has enough faith to move mountain. But when you see a man moving a mountain, it's not because of the faith he has. It's because of the understanding that he has. So in Job 38 verse 7, the Bible said something. It said, declare now if you have understanding, not if you have faith. A man is deceived when he assumes that his faith is not enough. Everybody already has more than enough faith. The problem is always the problem of understanding. He said the power to decree is a product of understanding. Job 38 verse 7. Declare now if you have understanding, not if you have faith. That means the moment understanding begins to grow, the faith you have begins to produce results. So the result of faith is not tied to faith. It's tied to understanding. If understanding comes to you now, you can command the mountain of your life to get out. You have never had a problem of faith. You have never lacked faith. You have always had more than enough faith. It was Catherine Kuhlman that was grieved. People travel for kilometers to her meeting, and then you say they don't have enough faith. She said the problem is never faith. If a crippled person can endure the pain, leave her house and come for the conference, you can't tell the person doesn't have enough faith. The problem of the church is not a problem of lack of faith. There are too many people that don't have a definite coordinated knowledge on how things work. So when we can strengthen your knowledge, instantly you become a mountain mover. The moment your knowledge can be coordinated, you become a mountain mover. You don't need the faith of Benson Idahosa. You need the understanding of Benson Idahosa. If you check Benson Idahosa, maybe he didn't even use up to 10% of his faith, but he had enough understanding. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away, be thou removed, be thou cast away. So when things are not working, find out there's a knowledge gap. The moment the knowledge gap is straightened, some of the things we do on the pulpit is ushers that will begin to do them. People who need to walk into the church with clutches, when the usher meets you at the door, he says, give me the clutches. And then he says, what do you mean? You are coming for miracle service. And then the usher meets you at the door. He says, sir, give me the clutches. He says, I can't walk. He says, I say, give me the clutches. And then the usher, we hit the clutches at the door. And every cripple, we walk and sit down. Not because the usher has a special faith. Everybody has enough faith to raise the dead. Everybody has enough faith to heal the cripple. Everybody has enough faith. But the problem is, only few have understanding. And this is why we teach. And tonight, I want to teach you a few things about how this faith that we have, how it works. Tonight is not a revival service. I'll just show you a few scriptures. I said it's introduction. You will know how this faith works. Then you understand what the Bible said. It said women receive their dead back to life. It's not with Wiggles was mantle. Widows, their children die. They say, stand up. You can't die. They don't have anybody's mantle. They just have the faith that works. And the faith that works is the faith of understanding. If we know this, the superstar mentality in church will die. I can raise the dead. I have the mantle to raise the dead. It's nonsense. Every faith can raise the dead. Every faith can open blind eyes. Every faith can open deaf ears. But there is an understanding that provokes that result. There is an understanding. Because the move of God's power is not in the church. It's in the market. It's in the politics. It's in the academia. So the move of power is not supposed to be in the church. This is an equipping ground. It is the senator that should stand up and raise the dead. It is the ordinary businesswoman in the market that should unstop the deaf ears. It's not the super apostle or super prophet. The problem is men have not been taught how faith works. Even when we come for faith conference, we make it look as if there is a mystery about our lives. There is something about us that makes us do what we do. So people come for faith conference and they go back hailing the man of God that preached. Instead of leaving the conference and saying, I came here, I couldn't raise the dead. Now I'm going back to raise the dead. I came here, I couldn't heal the sick. You didn't come for a faith conference until you go to the hospital and raise the dead. The man on the pulpit is not coming to show you that he has something with God. The man on the pulpit is coming to show you that you have something with God. So when you come for a faith conference and the faith conference ends, Yola should be on fire. Because they will say, some university students who attended the meeting, they went to the hospital and discharged everybody. They say, which church are they from? They say, we don't know their church. They didn't introduce themselves. We just saw young boys enter the hospital and discharge everybody. What happened? Something has begun in Yola. They came for a faith conference. So suddenly, fearful men who didn't know or have direction, they go back as bold as lions. And they can go to the altars in their father's house and command the altar to shut up. When a faith conference is organized, you won't need to call a prophet by 12 midnight again and say, prophet, I have a bad dream. When you wake up from your bed, you know what to do. You know what to do. Even if the devil gives you a lying vision and you saw yourself in the coffin, you'll tell the devil, if I was in the coffin, I wouldn't have been able to see myself. So I'm not the one in the coffin. Get behind me, Satan. Faith conferences makes men radical. That is how this faith works. He said, through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. And the things which are were not made from the things which do appear. So when you want to pray for the sick, you don't need to know how the person will be healed. Because the things which are were made from the things that do not appear. When you want to pray for the blind, you don't need to know how it will happen. He said, as thou knowest not how the bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child, so knowest not thou the works of the Spirit. So you don't need to have any symptom. You wake up in the morning, your business is not prospering. You don't know how to manage to prosper. All you need is to show up with the understanding of faith that makes faith work. And when you do what you ought to do, even the wind will bring your promotion. There's an understanding. I came to let you know there is an understanding. And the first thing you need to know is that your problem is not the problem of faith. The faith you have now is enough to raise the dead. The faith you have now is enough to heal the sick. The faith you have now is enough to change any story about your life. But I want to show you how that faith works. The diagnosis of that faith. And if you know it, you will live here beginning to provoke unimaginable results. He said, women receive their dead back to life. The first thing you need to know about the faith that you have is that this faith you have speaks. The faith you have, it's activated when you talk. There are basic things I want to share tonight. It's introduction. Those who hear my message know that I teach a lot of mysteries. But faith is so simple so that even the child can exercise it. In Luke 10:19, he sent babes out and all of them healed sick people, cast out demons, and they returned to him and said, the demons were subject to us. And he said, rejoice not that demons are subject to you. Rejoice that today your name is written in heaven. And Jesus went back to pray and he said, I thank you, Father, that you have revealed these things to babes. So healing the sick, casting out demons is the job of babes. It's not the work of apostles and prophets. He said they went out, the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. The way faith is activated is by talking. And the way fear is also activated is by talking. The reason your faith is not working is because you have spoken too much fear. So before your faith is already covered with a lot of debris. Somebody begins to feel headache, and the next thing he says, could this be a tumor? Could it be what happened to Abigail that killed her? I don't know. My brother too had this headache and he died. And then he's creating negative energy, choking his faith until nothing works anymore. But the man who knows how this faith works, if there is pain, the first thing he does is that pain, go. If there is growth, he says, growth, go down. Why? Because we only have what he says. He said, come unto me now, declare thy words, that thou mightest be justified. When you hear people talk, you will know whether they are people of faith or they are people of fear. This is not gain speaking. This is speakings that are built on the foundation of God's word. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 4 verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The reason is because every circumstance you are going through, God have already spoken about it. So what do you do as a man of faith? You pick what God said and say what God said. And when you say what God said, you will have God's result. In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1, the Bible said something. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he began to show us how the God of faith worked. It said, the earth was void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. You know there is darkness because Moses said so. If you heard that story from the perspective of God, you would never have heard about darkness. It was Moses that told us darkness was on the face of the deep. When God wanted to speak, the only thing God said was what God wanted to see. He said, let there be light. There was darkness, but God didn't say anything. The only thing God said was, light be. And the Bible said, and light appeared. And God saw it, and it was good. Was there darkness? Yes, but God never mentioned darkness. Because the man of faith only says what he wants to see. This is how this faith works. If you keep saying evil, you will only have evil. The problem why many people cannot see their faith working is because they talked themselves out even before they began. The reason many people are backward in life is because they have used their mouth to bury themselves. They never think anything good can come out of them. This was the problem of the disciples. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But Nazareth was the city that the Lord had chosen. The man who should raise the dead is the one saying nothing good can happen with him. So what does he do? He shut the door to himself. He comes and learns a lot of mysteries about angelic dimension, about patterns, about realities, about coordinated reality. He says everything, but nothing is working in his life. Because when the law of faith should be activated, it's when he came back from work and took off his shirt and he casually said, nothing is working in Yola. He doesn't know he's a man of authority. When he went to bed and he was talking with his wife, he said, this life is so hard. Nothing is working. He doesn't know that he's programming his destiny. And then when he comes to church, he comes to pray. Shabba, shabba, shabba. Wabba, wabba. We are taking over. We are taking over. And the moment he goes home, with that sweat from prayer, he now comes home and says, Kai, nothing is working. Hi. We will suffer. And then he thinks he's a deep man. Because when he carries the microphone, Yola is going down. When you are talking, the angels will look at you like a clown. They won't even bother themselves because 5 minutes later, you will be the one using your mouth saying, nothing will work. But men of faith don't talk like that. They only say what they want to see. And as they keep saying it, things will begin to happen. Let me shock you. When God spoke in Genesis chapter 1, nothing happened. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, you will discover the Bible says God commanded all the green herbs to appear from the ground. And they say God saw it and it was good. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 3, the Bible said, in that day, there was no green herb on the face of the earth. Because God had not created the man to till the earth. Neither has he caused the dew to come from the heaven. So what God saw was not physical. He saw it with the eyes of faith. You think when God said, let the green tree appear, trees sprung forth, nothing appeared. Trees began to appear when the rain began to fall. But the Bible said what? God saw it. It was good. You say one today, you say another one tomorrow. No matter the mystery of faith you know, you will have no result. It looks basic and simple, but this is where believers err. They don't know that the trigger of faith is in their words. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to verse 24, it says, have the God kind of faith. Now, why was Jesus teaching this subject? They were journeying to Jerusalem and they saw a fig tree. He went to pluck from the tree and there were no figs. And Jesus returned. And Jesus said, no man shall eat of you anymore. And the disciples were looking, thinking the fig would dry and nothing happened. But as far as Jesus was concerned, the fig was dried. And Jesus went to Jerusalem. When he was coming back the next day, the disciples were still looking. Because they function from their brain. And they were shocked that the fig tree dried up from the root. And he said, Master, the fig tree you cursed yesterday have dried up. Jesus was not surprised. I have spoken, so it must happen. And Jesus began to teach them how this kind of faith works. And he said, when you command this mountain, you do not look to see when the mountain will move. He said, what you look is, refuse to doubt in your heart. So long as you have given the command, the mountain have no choice. Because the way the mountain came was by talking. So the way the mountain will go is by talking. When you go to see a herbalist, all the herbalist need to do is to talk from his shrine. And the herbalist doesn't need to check. He knows that if he says it, it will happen. What is the problem with believers? We are analyzing reality with our brain. Your 10-pound brain cannot change your life. You need something superior to your brain. And that's why God gave you your mouth. Your tongue was not given to you to talk. Your tongue was given to you to create. That's why when God began to create, he started talking. Let there be light. Let there be this. Let there be that. But you, all you have created is evil, is fear, is weakness. This is why your faith is not working. When he said, when you speak to this mountain, the idea was not about the mountain. The subject was not about the mountain. If you think Jesus was talking about a mountain, you lost it. What Jesus was telling the disciples is, you are functioning from the realm of God. He wasn't talking about the mountain at all. He was teaching them what God did in Genesis chapter 1. When a man wants to walk, he labors. But when a God wants to walk, he talks. So what Jesus was teaching the disciples is that on account of new birth, you were ordained into the class of God. And this is how God walks. When God wants to walk, God talks. So from today, it's only what you want to see that you say. Because when God wanted to create the world, he said, let the dry ground appear. And if God wants to destroy the world, it's the same way he created the world that he will destroy the world. So what Jesus was teaching the disciples was how to walk in the creative realm. That functioning in the creative realm is not a product of a vision. Functioning in the creative realm is a product of talking. So it was not about the mountain. It can be your business. It can be your family. It can be your job. When you want to change things, you begin to talk. And from that day, the disciples started talking differently. Because it was a training that you are God. Because you are the children of the Most High God. And the way to function as a God is to talk like a God. When somebody goes to see a native doctor and he gives him charm, he doesn't even know anything. But if he carries that charm, he will come back and tell you, I will deal with you. But a believer needs to go through different kinds of Bible school. A believer needs to be in church for 10 years to be able to give his first command. Because he's made to feel that he must do something or he must become like something to be able to speak. How come in darkness they know better? You are fighting with somebody. He goes to see a native doctor today and he comes back immediately, he becomes a lion. He tells you to the faith, you will see. You will see. The reason is because the power will not work until you say it with audacity, until you say it with boldness, until you say it without doubting. What you need to make your faith work is to understand how faith works. And this is how faith works. If you anchor your faith on fasting, you are wrong. The reason is because when it happens, you will take the credit. God will not take the glory. You will say, it's because I fasted for 10 years. That's why it happened. Should we fast? Yes. All of us fast. I live a fasted life. I travel literally every day. For the past 3 weeks, I've been preaching back to back. I left Uyo. I went to Calabar. I went to Abuja. I went back to Uyo. I went to Port Harcourt. I left there. I went to Onitsha. 2 weeks ago, I was with Apostle Selma in Onitsha. We finished from Onitsha. I went back to Port Harcourt. I left Port Harcourt, I went to Nsukka. I left Nsukka, I returned to Abuja. On Wednesday, I went to Ghana. I left Ghana. I'm not coming from Ghana now. I left Ghana on Wednesday. I was in Calabar. I just came in from Calabar. And with all of this travel, I've been fasting. So do I fast? Yes. But when I declare, I don't declare because I fasted. I declare because I am born of God. And because I am of God, this is how God works. The way my father walks is by talking. So me too, when I want to walk, I start talking. Jesus said, the words I speak is my father that is in me that doeth the works. How does your father walk? Your father walks by talking. So how do you walk? You too walk by talking. But if you don't know how this faith works, you will waste your words. And then when you begin to talk without understanding, the angels that should empower your words, they will withdraw. Because they will know this one doesn't know he's a man of authority. When you talk without recourse to faith, the angels will withdraw. They will say, no, this one doesn't know he's a man of authority. The day you realize it, every word you speak will not fall to the ground. Because faith worketh by speaking. Number two, this faith we have is provoked by prayer. A man who does not pray does not even believe in what he's saying. The proof that you have faith is that you pray. Prayer is not just about making requests. Prayer is actually a testimony that you believe that God is. He said, whoever cometh to him must believe that he is and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when a man begins to pray, it's a response to the faith that is on his inside. So a man who doesn't pray, when he speaks, it won't happen. Because that man doesn't believe. He's trying to do trial and error. In Genesis chapter 1, from verse 1, the Bible said, before God spoke, he said, the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the deep. The brooding of the Spirit is the element of prayer. So your words must marry the move of the Spirit to produce result. And the way to provoke the move of the Spirit in your life is by prayer. This is why every man that has faith that moves mountain, check his life, is a man of prayer. I'm not talking about praying prayer points. No. I'm talking about prayer as a lifestyle. Because you know that commandments come from the mountain of God. So when a man begins to pray, what he's actually doing is that he is climbing the mountain of God. Prayer is an ascension to the realm of God. In 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, he said, when we pray in the Spirit, he said, we are not speaking unto men, but we are speaking unto God. So when a man begins to pray, what he's doing is that he's ascending elevated platform, because it's from the mountain that commandments come from. Prayer is not about prayer points. Prayer points are not necessary for a believer. When a man finishes the business of prayer and he ascends the mountain, all he does is to command. Jesus didn't have prayer points. Very rare occasions did you see Jesus praying prayer points. When Jesus is praying prayer points, he's interceding for others. Most times, it was always about intercourse. As he mingles with the Father, the river of life begins to flow. And when that river begins to flow, he steps into the market. The guy is blind. He says, I open. He never prayed to God, Lord, open his eyes. Even when Lazarus died, he waited for 4 days. And when he showed up, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said, he that was dead came forth. Why was it so? Because the man had provoked prayer. Prayer had become a river that carried the word of God to produce results. Because the move of the Spirit married to the voice of God is what bets result. But there are many believers who don't make prayer a lifestyle. They run to the place of prayer when they have a need. Father, my wife is in the labor room. Help, help. And they begin to call every intercessor. That's not how the man of faith lives. Before the wife takes in, the man knows. Because when he went to pray, they told him, your wife will give birth to a man. It's not in the labor room he's going to put agitation. No, no, no. When the wife is pregnant, he shows up, he puts his hand on the belly. You will be a king and a priest. You'll be a prophet to your generation. And then he steps out. He wakes up in the night. The woman is sleeping. He stands up. Matakiba. Rakido Baraka Sedivale. Bariando Sisida. Ashta Pataki. He has created an atmosphere. If that woman is in labor room, even if the doctors are confused, he will say, wait for me. I read about Bishop David Oedeko. When his wife was to give birth to the first son, they said they wanted to do a CS. He said, see what? Wait for me. And consultants were waiting. When he came into the labor room, he didn't come to pray. That's not when you pray. You must generate prayer as a river. When you come to the problem, you talk, you command. When you see a man praying in front of the problem, it's because he has not prayed before. When he should command is when he's praying. You will never have result. He showed up and he said, child, turn. And he turned back. And the child in the womb began to rotate and turn. Is that when he prayed? No. He had 9 months of prayer. And having prayed for 9 months, when he was in the labor room, he required a commandment. If you come to pray in the labor room, you can't have result. He said, if the heavens be full of rain, they will empty themselves upon the earth. So our prayer is what fills the heaven with rain. Our commandment is what causes the rain to fall. So if a man doesn't generate prayer, his cloud will not be full. When he's commanding, the cloud will be empty. And if a man prays and fills the cloud, and he doesn't know how to command, even though the cloud is full, his earth will be dry. So it's a marriage between commandment and prayer that makes faith produce result. So the faith that expands your frontiers is a faith that speaks and is a faith that prays. If I want to become an apostle to the world, it's not today I will start saying it. I started saying it many years ago. Many years ago, myself and my friends, we go to the place of prayer. We pace the floor for 3 hours every day. We pray. When we finish in the evening, when others are going to eat, we knew how faith works. So we will stand and we will say, we will shake this world. We stand and we say, nations will call us. Kings will look for us. We will display the power of God as if it's a joke. We had prayed and we had prophesied. Today, we don't need to pray for it to happen. I lie in my room. As I'm talking to you now, there are people looking for me. Sir, can you come and bless us? Sir, can you come and bless us? Why? I filled my heavens with rain and I used my words to command the rain to fall. So even when I'm sleeping, I will have result. This is what you see about the generals. And then you see them come to a meeting. They remove their suit, they throw it, and people stand up from wheelchair. It didn't start in that meeting. No champion is trained in the competition. Every champion is trained before the competition. Before the season comes, your cloud must be full of rain. It takes intercession to fill the cloud with rain. It's not casual prayer in prayer meeting. Prayer meeting is just a place where we come to have fellowship. True prayer is behind your closet when you are alone. How many hours can you pray in a prayer meeting? When was the last time you saw people pray for 72 hours in a prayer meeting? So the prayer of the prayer meeting is service. That's why we call it service. When you come to church, we call it service. Because you just came to service. The true work is in your bedroom, where you labor in prayer. Many people have not filled their cloud, so they come to embarrass themselves. It's not commandment that makes the difference. It's a commandment that is backed up with prayer. Most times when you are praying, you begin to travel into the future. Your horizon will never enlarge until you use prayer to get there. I have come to Yola before in prayer. That's why I'm here today. If my prayer have not opened the door of Yola, even if I call the bishop, he will invite me. But if my prayer have opened this door, if I come here and sing a song and go back, you will be blessed. A man will struggle unless he begins to pray. When you begin to pray, what you do is that you open the frontiers and the horizon of your possibility. This is how spirits work. When God wanted to create the world, himself didn't know how much he will create. So he had to brood. When he was brooding, that's when he was creating the mountains. That's when he was opening the frontiers. Many people never pray. That's why they are tiny. It's all about them. Because all they have seen and known is themselves and their family. Sometimes when you begin to pray, you begin to travel. When you begin to pray, you begin to travel. You leave your room and then you go into a city. And God shows you what is happening in that city. And when you come back to your room, you begin to make declaration. Sometimes you don't even go to cities. Sometimes you travel back into time. And you may be praying and then you go and meet the same person in the Hosa that many people are calling his name everywhere for validation. You will meet him in the spirit. And he will tell you, this is what I was doing in Nigeria before God took me. Go and continue. You have expanded your frontiers beyond time. This is what Moses knew. 40 days, Moses was on Sinai praying. When he returned to earth, he was a commander. The faith that enlarges the horizon is a faith that prays. It's a faith that travails. In Isaiah 66 verse 8, it said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. There is a vision in your spirit that you will never see. There is a possibility in your spirit that you will never see. There is a dimension in your spirit you will never see. You will go for all the conferences. You will meet all the men of God. You will snap pictures with them. They will give you their handkerchief. You will go nowhere. Because until Zion travailed, she couldn't bring forth. The faith that widens your horizon is a faith that prays. It's in prayer that our perception is activated. I can't teach you about perception until you build it. It's in prayer that our visions are enlarged. I can't enlarge your vision until you see it. That's why God took Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. He said, come. That was prayer. Every time you heard Abraham walking with God, it was prayer. And he took him, he said, look at the skies. If you cannot number them, that's how your children will be. Abraham's visions enlarged. Did you notice in Genesis chapter 22, Abraham mounted the mountains of Horeb and he built an altar to sacrifice Isaac. There, his eyes opened and Abraham saw the Lord and he called the mountain Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means upon the mountain the Lord shall be seen. What did Abraham see there? Abraham didn't see a lamb. What Abraham saw on that mountain was the day of Jesus Christ. So Jesus came in John chapter 8. He said, Abraham, your father, saw my day and he rejoiced in it. So Abraham left his generation and entered the generation of Jesus in prayer. So Abraham could bet things in many generations ahead of him. It was Enoch that went to pray and he said, I saw the Lord descending from Mount Paran. I saw him coming down with 10,000 of his saints. This is why Enoch was raptured. Because the things Enoch saw in the place of prayer were realities of rapture. Your boundaries will enlarge to the degree that your prayer can enlarge it. It's not impartations that make it happen. It's not impartation. There are too many Christians today carrying out activities. They carry out many activities. And every day, new ministries are birthed. And when you look at the ministry, it's a photocopy of another ministry. Because he didn't see anything. He just photocopied somebody else's ministry. It is only the man who has sent the mountain that can see the visions of God. New ministries are only born from the altar. Many people, everything we call ministry is photocopy. Copy and paste. Copy and paste. Because we are not seeing anything. The men who pioneered virgin dimensions, it was prayer that took them there. It was prayer. Your horizon cannot be enlarged until you can see it in the place of prayer. The fathers of old, they knew it. And when a man can see it, he can command it. When a man can see it, he can command it. The faith that enlarges your horizon is a faith that prays. Sir, I want to submit to you that there are many ministers of God today. What we know how to do is to preach. But you can't take a territory by preaching. No territory has ever been taken by preaching. Go and read church history. No territory has ever been taken by preaching. Everybody that took cities and nations took them on their knees. They didn't take them by preaching. They took them on their knees. Moses took Egypt on Horeb. He didn't take Egypt by talking. He took Egypt on Horeb. He saw a bush burning that was not consumed. You want to take Yola? You want to take Nigeria? You want to take Africa? And then you think it's by talking? We have been deceived. You can hear Benson Idahosa's message and preach it. You will not have Benson Idahosa's result. Until by prayer, you travel to where he traveled in the spirit. And we know that is a possibility. Because Elijah heard that Enoch walked with God and he was not. And Elijah too walked with God and he was carried. If you don't journey to where the man journeyed, you cannot have what he has. So if you want a faith that enlarges horizon, then that faith must be on the altar. In Genesis chapter 12 verse 6, the Bible said, Abraham, the moment he came to the promised land, he built an altar. Genesis chapter 12 verse 7, he said he moved to Bethel, he built an altar. In Genesis 13 verse 18, he came to Mamre, he built an altar. The faith that takes territories, the faith that makes for enlargement, is a faith of prayer. We have a generation of wise men, philosophers, talking mysteries, but having no result. So the guy has a cell. There are 12 people in his cell, but he's coming on Facebook to challenge Bishop David Oyedepo. Because he thinks faith is just by talking. He has prayed for 100 people. No one is healed. But he comes online, he's challenging Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. Some of them even go on Facebook. They sit on their table with a funny background. And they are there saying, the church in Nigeria is not working. this is what we must do for the church to work. They think it takes technocracy to make the church work. The only way things will work is when our knee become like the camel knee. The church in Jerusalem was a church of prayer. Church history told us that James could knee down facing the wall and he will pray until the wall crack. They were not talkers. They were not even men of prayer. They were prayer. A man who dances is a dancer. A man who sings is a singer. A man who prays is a prayer. Forget, a conference will not enlarge your horizon. I'm telling you, even if we prophesy it, there will be seeds in your spirit. You will go back to your altar and fan it to flame. Paul told Timothy that you should be mindful, 2 Timothy 1:6, to fan to flame the gifts of God that were delivered to you by the laying on of my hand. We are a generation that want cheap things. So when a man of God comes, you want to tear his button. Meanwhile, you have the Bible in your house, you don't read it. But you want to carry the man's button and go and take your territory with his button. Because his button is more powerful than the Bible in your house. The angel of the Lord has been standing in your room for 3 months. He has not been able to make contact with you. But you came for a conference like this. You want to defy every protocol to touch the man of God's shoe. Do you know that in his house, there is a houseboy that cleans his shoe that has nothing? You want to touch his leg and show reverence. Do you know he has a wife that touches him every day? We don't pray. That's why we can't take territories. You take territories on your knees. We are a funny generation. People go and open 5 Facebook page, 3 YouTube page, and they put their messages there. They write a long treatise. Come back and check it. After 7 days, it's only 5 people that will read it. Because it takes a power that is generated in the place of prayer to command the attention of your generation. If anybody told you that by laying hands on you, your horizon will widen and you will take it, you are deceived. Because the person talking to you himself, he went there on his knees. He went there on his knees. You generate the power that widens horizon on your knees. And when you have generated that power, any commandment you give works. This is how it works. This is why I said through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. Because before he framed this world, the spirit was hovering upon the face of the deep. The word used for the spirit hovering is the same word used for travailing in childbirth. The way a woman travails to give birth. That was what the Holy Ghost was doing in Genesis chapter 1. It's the same word for the travail of childbirth. So when God wanted to create the world out of nothing, God travailed. He travailed. Some of you have a destiny of taking the knot, but you have not been able to be impregnated with the knot. It is in prayer and in travail that the chambers of your spirit will open to accommodate the knot. And when that thing happens, the gates of the knot will open to you on their own accord. It's not about how many years you have been in ministry. The number of years you have been in ministry is chronological time. It's in time. The angels don't regard it. When you come into the spirit realm, they want to find out which height are you speaking from. How high have you traveled? It took Moses many days to climb Sinai because he knows that it's upon Mount Sinai that the pillar of the presence stands. When you talk at the foot of the mountain, you have no result. So men who change things, you can be at the foot of the mountain for 40 years. Israel was at the foot of the mountain for 40 years. All they saw were the acts of God. The man that knew the ways of God was the man that paid the price to ascend the mountain. So you can be in church. You can even be an apostle or a prophet for 40 years. It doesn't confer any authority on you. Time is not a factor in the realm of reality. It's until you pay the price of gaining ascension in the spirit. And when you come to the mountain where kings dwell, even the nation will say, let us go to the mountain of God, for out of Zion proceeds the law. You will only be full of yourself, and all you can see will be yourself. The only time you can come out of yourself and enlarge your horizon is when you ascend the mountain. When you ascend the mountain, even Yola will become too small. Because where you are looking from, you will discover that no, what God wants to do can be Yola. What God wants to do can be Nigeria. You will stand in your bedroom and you'll begin to talk to Ghana. You'll begin to talk to Kenya. You'll begin to talk to Mozambique. You will start betting them in the place of prayer, because by your travail, you have betted them. This is how our horizon is enlarged. I heard the story of one of the fathers of faith. A young minister went to see him, and every day by 4 a.m., he enters his prayer room. And on the prayer room, there is the map of the world. And sometimes in 1 month, he will go and stand on Europe, and he will be praying on Europe and prophesying over Europe. Prophesying over Europe. The next month, he will stand on Africa, and he will be prophesying, praying and prophesying over Africa. He was in one room, but he was addressing the globe. This is how it works. It's not cheap, it's hard. For your boundaries to be enlarged, you will labor. You don't wake up overnight and suddenly things begin to happen. It doesn't happen like that. If it does like that, God will be biased. God will be biased. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give thee light. If there are two things your tongue was given for you to achieve, one is for creation, and two is for prayer. You create by commanding, and you enlarge your capacity and horizon by prayer.